About the law as you should, you can discover the answer by joining us for the Law Game, an entertainment in which three celebrities will try to judge the results of law cases and bet on their decisions. And here's the only man that can't lose because he knows the answers beforehand. Your chairman, Shaw Taylor.
Good evening to you. Well, we have three more fictitious cases for you, which were all based on real cases that were judged in courts on the same points of law. Waiting in the wings are our resident repertory company, who will act out the stirring dramas until the point where I call them to a halt with the bell. And that is when the panel will be telling me who they think won the case and why. Now, each member of the panel has 50 points to start with and can get as many of those points as their confidence dictates on which side won. If they pick the winning side, I will match the points they bet. They'll earn themselves odds of 2-1 if they come up with the right legal reasons. Real court cases can take days, weeks, or even months, so you'll notice we're speeding up the procedure a bit to get in three in half an hour. Right, you know the game. Let's meet the players. Tonight's panel are Janet Street Porter, Nigel Dempster, and Wendy Richards. Janet Street Porter, journalist, TV presenter, and joint contender with Margaret Thatcher as the most impersonated lady on TV.
I can't really do radio justice, can I?
What about brushes with the law, Janet? Ever had a brush with the law?
Someone rang me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, this is the Metropolitan Water Board. There's a birth water main in your street. Water's being cut off in 5 minutes. Draw all the water you require for the next 48 hours. And rang off. And it sounded so authoritarian that I believed it, and I woke up my husband and I rushed around the whole house. I filled every sink, every pan, therefore everything, went back to bed. Just as I dropped off, the phone rang again and the voice said, Metropolitan Water Board, have you drawn all the water you require? I said, oh yes, and he said, ever been had? Limehouse Police Station, and I said to the police, I want to make a complaint. I'm so naive about things like this, and I told the whole story to the copper on duty, and he said, it's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Nigel Dempster, as a gossip columnist, I think you probably know more about me than I do about you, so we'll skip over that side of it. Have any of your revelations ever created problems as far as the law is concerned?
Well, I seem to spend about 3 weeks of every year in the High Courts of Justice. In fact, I think they're the High Courts of Injustice, because I always lose the libel cases. But one way and the other. The only real bad brush I ever had with the law was about 20 years ago, when I was just a child, of course, driving into Trafalgar Square with a blonde at my side in a racy car, and it turned over entirely by itself. As luck would have it, the car behind was a police car, and they took me to Bow Street Police Station. And I realised that things looked very bad for me, maybe because I had a crate of champagne in the boot. And they said, look, you can just make one call to your doctor if you want, because we've got the police surgeon coming. So I gave them the number of my doctor, and about 10 minutes later, this was 4 o'clock in the morning, dawn coming up over London, and I said to the police inspector, you got through? And he said, yes. He said, but he's not very pleased with you. I said, why is that? He said, that was your dentist.
Now, Wendy Richards, we know all about you from Are You Being Served. Have you ever been served with a summons or anything to do with the law?
I met some chaps from the West Sussex Constabulary a couple of weeks ago, and they gave me this bookmark. Now, I've got a young man that I know who's just gone to South America for a holiday, so I thought I'd give him this to remember, because it says, never go with strangers. And then I turned it over and it says, if you're ever frightened, ask an adult lady for help. So I left it.
All right, panel, let's go straight into tonight's first situation. It's one that I gave you details of last week. It occurred because of a local government by-election being held in a northern town. Now, there'd been a straight fight between Labour and Conservatives, and the pundits predicted it would be a close thing. The two candidates chatted with each other just prior to the results being announced.
Well, whatever the results, Mrs. Broker, I want to congratulate you on a clean and skillfully fought campaign. With a pleasure competing.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Crawford. Same goes for you. I've never thought it right to base a campaign on knocking the other side. What our constituents really want are plans for the future.
Yes, I quite agree. It doesn't help either side.
But, you know, I think what bothers me most about standing in these elections is how we seem to lose our individuality. Well, I don't think anyone gives a hoot about you or I as people.
Well, I suppose that's the price one pays. Maggie went through it and every Prime Minister before her. The system does offer its rewards in the end.
Oh, look, the mayor's coming out with the results. My scouts tell me we were neck and neck an hour before the polling stations closed.
Well, whatever the results, may the best man...
Or woman.
A win.
Is it on? Quiet, please, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. As returning officer for the constituency of Newborough South, I certify the vote poll in this by-election to be as follows. Mrs. Edith Roker, 7,309. Mr. Simon Crawford, 7,308. I therefore declare Mrs. Roker to be duly elected.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Never mind, Mr. Crawford. There'll be other elections coming up. You certainly didn't disgrace yourself. Took three recounts to be sure of the figures.
Well, I suppose that is some sort of consolation.
Why, if it hadn't been for that spoiled voting slip, you'd have been dead even.
Spoiled? What do you mean, spoiled?
Whoever it was that made it out wrote your name and party on the slip instead of just putting a simple cross in the appropriate box. It had to be disqualified under the rules. I had no choice.
What, you mean you knew the vote was definitely for me, yet you didn't count it?
That's right. I have to run a fair election. I mean, it could have gone the other way, too. If one of Mrs. Roker's voters had handwritten anything but a cross, that would have been invalid, too.
Yes, but we're not talking about any odd vote here. We're talking about the one vote that would have made all the difference.
Don't blame me, Mr. Crawford. Blame whoever spoiled that slip. There were clear notices in all the polling booths showing exactly what they had to do. Cross is all I'm allowed to accept. That's the election rules. Someone without enough brains to understand the notices has cost you this election.
Well, I wouldn't bank on that. There's nothing to stop me taking legal action to try to scrap this ballot and get a fresh election.
Oh, it's your prerogative to try, Mr. Crawford. But I can't see you getting it. And everyone's going to think you're just a sore loser.
Well, I'm not bothered by what they may think. But unless I contest your decision in court, I will have to consider myself just a victim of total incompetence and gross mismanagement. Oh.
Sir, Simon Crawford went to court. He tried to get the election declared null and void and have it rerun. Did he succeed or did he not? Janet, what do you think?
I don't think he would have won because on a ballot paper, the parties are never listed, only the people's names, and you have to work it out.
Well, that's right, yes, but somebody had written down his name, so obviously they wanted him to win, didn't they?
Well, his name's already there, so why are they going to write it all over again? Best presumably they couldn't read, so how could they write? Have I blown it? I'm too smart too soon.
Right. So you fight against it. Nigel Dempster, what about you?
Well, of course, I know nothing about the voting process in this country because, as everyone knows, lunatics, peers and gossip columnists aren't allowed to. I think that he could get away with it. I think that the law does provide for idiots like myself to be able to write down the name, whether it's Mickey Mouse or whatever. And I think that he would have been able to go to law, and I think he might easily have triumphed.
What point in law do you think the judge would have found in his favour?
I think clear indication that the man intended to vote.
We've got Janet saying no, he didn't win. We've got Nigel saying yes, he did win. Wendy Richards, what do you say?
Well, I didn't understand a word of it, to be quite honest. But I think she did it. Is that what we're trying to find out? Who did it?
It's not who done it. No, it's very simple, really. I mean, the argument basically is, should you accept a paper which doesn't follow the rules exactly? On the piece of paper, it says, put a cross by the name of the candidate that you think should win, and whoever did this piece of paper, and we don't know who, because, as somebody said, you don't know whose name is on the paper. It's simply a piece of ballot paper. If the person who did it didn't put a cross, but put the man's name instead, would you have accepted that or not? As a judge.
Well, I still don't understand it. No. But
pick one side or the other.
Yes.
Yes, which? Did he win or did he lose?
I think he won.
I won't ask you your reasons for thinking that.
Something will get outside.
But what I will do, I'll come back to Janet. You've got 50 points to play with, Janet. You're the odd girl out at the moment.
Yeah.
You say he didn't win. You've got 50 points. Remember, if you are right for the right reasons, I will give you double. If you're simply right, I'll give you evens. How many of your 50 will you bet?
Only 10, because I'm having an anxiety attack at this single girl.
Right, Nigel Dempsey, you have 50 points as well. What will you bet of your 50 points?
Confident to the last, 20.
Wendy, you're on Nigel's side, so you could win, you could lose on this one. How many points will you bet?
I'll do 20 in all.
Right. I'm here to tell you, then, that Mr. Crawford won his case. The election was declared null and void. The judge said that the intention that the vote was for him clearly appeared on the ballot paper, even if it wasn't shown by means of a cross. And this is exactly what you said, Nigel. He added that the local election rules would have made that voting slip invalid if the voter could have been identified from what he wrote. But as he couldn't be identified, he obviously meant Mr. Crawford to win. The judge accepted this and the election was rerun. So, Janet, I'm sorry you lost 10 on that, so you're down to 40 points. Nigel, I'm happy to say you gave me the right reasons for it, so I'll give you double. So your 20 becomes 40, you're up to 90 points. And Wendy, you did extremely well for somebody who didn't understand a word of it. You've got 70 points. Now, our second case takes us into court, where a doctor is facing an application for an injunction against him by his three former partners in a Harley Street clinic. To find out why, let's eavesdrop as the counsel for the three other doctors is questioning the man concerned.
Dr. Dorning, you first requested to become the fourth partner in 1974. Why did you want to join this particular clinic?
I had a small one-man private practice in St. Albans, but the lease on the premises ran out. I spent several weeks looking for a suitable new place. Then, by chance, I met Dr. Sanford, one of the partners, and he told me they had room for another doctor at the clinic.
Did he suggest you become a partner, or did that come from you?
It came from me. I thought it would be more convenient and economical for all of us.
But they had a thriving private clinic. Why would they want to share it with you?
Firstly, because I am regarded as an expert dietitian, so it increased the range of services they'd be able to offer. And also because I brought my own entire list of patients into the business.
Ah, so it was your suggestion, and certainly with your agreement, that your patients became their patients.
Our patients.
Yes, of all four doctors in the partnership. Now, let me ask you, Dr. Dorning, were you fully aware of the contents of the agreement you signed when you were made a fourth partner?
Of course. I'm a careful man. I never sign anything I don't fully understand.
So you must know that you were under an obligation to relinquish all patients of the partnership if you ever decided to leave the clinic.
I'm sorry, I can't agree with your interpretation of the agreement. As I saw it, my obligation was not to poach any of their patients, and I didn't.
But you took two with you.
No, they chose to come and join me. That, as I see it, is not poaching, especially as they were my own original patients in the first place.
The ones that you introduced into the clinic as part of the deal to secure your partnership. I have no further questions, sir.
I have some questions, Dr. Dorning, my lord. Dr. Dorning, when you were made a partner, how many patients did you bring with you?
23. 14 of which were still patients when I left.
14. You brought in 14, and only two left with you. So they no longer have to share their profits with you, and they have retained 12 of the patients you gave them.
That's right. But because of the circumstances in which I left, they are being rather vindictive and insisting on keeping the lot.
Will you tell the court what those circumstances were?
I got the sudden offer to head a new diet clinic in the area. I had to decide quickly, so I gave my former partners the month's notice our agreement required. But I'm afraid it still made them rather angry.
Well, perhaps that's understandable. But as you say, you gave notice in accordance with the partnership agreement.
Yes. The agreement detailed the financial share out of the profits and expenses. It clearly prohibited the poaching of patients on leaving and was quite specific about the 1 month's notice.
One final question, Dr. Dorning. Did you put any undue pressure on the two people who left to become your personal patients once again?
None at all. They wanted to remain with me because over the years we had formed a friendship, and they thought me the best man to understand and treat their own special problems.
So, panel, on the basis of what you heard there, could the partnership get their injunction to to prevent Dr. Dawning from continuing to treat those two private patients? Or was it too late for that? Nigel Dempster.
Well, I would have thought that they would have got the injunction, and poor old Dr. Dawning would have been out, had to give back his two patients,
even though they themselves wanted to go with him.
I didn't like the way that counsel puts that sort of terrible pressure on people when they say, did you force them away? And judges wake up when they hear things like that. They write in their pad, force away, force away. And 2 days later, they give a judgment against him. I think he's in trouble.
Wendy Richards.
Do you have the right to change your doctor, right, if you don't like them?
Yes.
So if they were quite happy with him and he was going somewhere else, and they had quite right to go with him if they wanted to.
Yeah. What he did sign was a thing saying that he would not take any of the patients with him.
Yeah, but they have the right to go.
So you really find that he was quite right to take the two patients and got away with it?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, darling, I'll put you down for Dawning. Now, Janet, what about you?
I don't know. I've been so many doctors. I always try a different one for new illnesses. No, seriously, if they had a legal agreement, the legal agreement binds, but I agree with Wendy, where a patient has a right to go to whichever doctor he likes.
All right. Stick with me, Jack. So, it goes...
I mean, Wendy and I have obviously been to a few doctors in our time, and we are on the side of the patient in this.
Would you like to have a conversation about your various illnesses?
No, there's nothing wrong with us at the moment. We're doing just fine.
Are you sure you were brunette when you came in?
Gone pink. Anyway, Nigel, you were the first to answer, so I'm going to ask you how many of your 90 points you have now. You will bet that you are right and the two girls are wrong.
At least 40.
Wendy, you say that the partner's lost the case, that he won. How many will you bet? You've got 70 points to bet with.
20.
Janet, you have 40 points to bet with.
30. I've got nothing to
lose. You say that the partner's lost their case. Nigel says the partner's won their case. I can tell you the partner's lost their case. Girls, you are right.
I think I demand a recount here.
No, sometimes it pays to be intuitive about these things.
It does, doesn't it? The judge said that because of the special relationship which exists between a doctor and his patient, that part of the agreement which would have prevented those two patients being treated by Dr. Dawning was contrary to public policy and thereby void. Public policy applies in this case to professions that cannot be forced to divulge information about their clients. And that would mean doctors, priests, lawyers, etc., etc.
Dentists.
So, girls, I'm happy to tell you now that Wendy Richards is in the lead with 90 points, Janet is second with 70, and poor old Nigel sank to third place with 50 points. Right, final case coming up arose after Clive Eastley, a manufacturer of sports trophies, had an old friend and his wife over for a drink. He showed them his treasured coin collection.
Oh, I say, this one's in very good condition, Clive, considering it must be about 100 years old.
105, to be exact.
Gosh!
It's interesting to compare it with the one next to it. That's also Queen Victoria, but in that one she has the bun on the top of her head instead of at the back.
Oh, so she has. Goodness, I never noticed that.
It was designed to give her a better image. The first one was considered to be a bit front.
Yeah, you've got some fine stuff here, Clive. Let me know if you ever decide to sell any. There's several here I'd like for my own collection.
Well, there's quite a few I keep in a safe that I haven't shown you yet.
Don't bother, old man. I'm jealous enough as it is.
Well, there is something in there I'd like you to have a close look at. It'll be a sort of test for you. I'll just unlock it and get them out.
Oh. Turn your backs while I turn the combination.
Oh, silly.
Right, here we are. 6 coins I'd rather like you to take a look at. Now, I'm going to lay them out on the table.
Well, what's so special about them?
3 of them I made myself. Come on, Tim. Tell, which of these 6 sovereigns are the genuine ones?
Let me see now. I would say that the first, the third, and the fifth. 2, 4, and 6 are the fakes, what?
What do you think, Jennifer?
Oh, I'll
I'll go along with Tim. He's the expert. But, well, actually, they all look the same to me.
Tim's right, of course.
Oh, Timmy.
You have to admit, they are fairly good replicas.
Too good. You haven't been passing them off to the public as the real thing, have you?
Good heavens, no. That's why I keep them locked up in a safe, so they won't get into circulation. I made them last month when I was striking those medals for the Intercounty Athletics Championship. There were some materials left over, so I tried to my hand at begging these.
Isn't that illegal?
Oh, no, not if I keep them for my own private use.
Oh.
Oh, I suppose I could sell them if I wanted to, provided I sold them as replicas, not the real thing. Otherwise, I really would be in trouble.
Didn't I read somewhere that there's a new act on the statute book about counterfeiting current coins and banknotes?
Yes, but I'm sure that only covers current currency. Its sovereigns are no longer used as current currency.
Even though some were issued only about 5 years ago for the Silver Jubilee?
Ah, souvenirs, Tim. I mean, it's not the sort of thing you hand to a cashier at your local supermarket. Well, a genuine one costs £71 each. I mean, that's what the Bank of England sold them for in 1977. I mean, they're purely collector's items.
I don't want to be a bore about this, Clive, but I'm sure I remember a case where a man got fined for using just a picture of a £5 note in an advertisement. It was one of those save £5 by buying whatever it was adverts. They said that he should have got permission from the Bank of England to make a copy.
Well, that's fair enough. A £5 note is, after all, current currency. And he was using the picture for monetary gain. Neither of those things apply to me and my sovereigns.
Well, I do see Clive's point, Tim. I mean, it's the same as having a copy of a Rembrandt on your wall. I mean, can't be anything illegal in that. It would only become illegal if you tried to sell it or, well, use it for security or collateral. As though it really were real.
Perhaps you're right. I don't know.
All right. I'll tell you what I'll do, Tim. So, as you and Jennifer won't be charged as accessories to my crime, I'll give myself up. I'll phone the police right now and tell them of this dastardly deed that I've done.
No, Clark.
Oh, with me. Well, I hope. And I do hope the two of you will come and visit me in prison.
Well, Clive Easley told the police he said he'd made those three sovereigns, ha ha ha, and he kept them locked in his safe, had no intention of passing them on to anybody else. On that information, do you think he was running the risk of prosecution and conviction? Do you think so, Wendy?
I think he was running the risk of being prosecuted for drinking his own homemade wine. That's what he's been at.
Do you think he committed a crime in making those sovereigns?
Well, unless he was actually sovereigns aren't really legal tender anymore, I think not, are they?
I don't think so.
I don't think he would have been done.
No, because he'd been very honest, hadn't he? He kept them in the safe. He told them he wasn't going to use them at all, and he declared that they were counterfeit anyway, so you think he'd get off?
Yes.
Fair enough. What about you, Janet?
Well, that kind of assumes you think Clive is a nice kind of guy who, once the sketch is finished, isn't going to rush down the road and try and flog them to an antique dealer. I don't think he would have got off. Once he's forged them, and that's all there is to it.
Forged is forged is forged.
I would have thought so. That's only because I buy a lot of things at junk. at auctions and things. I get very cross if I don't get the real thing. I think he wouldn't get off.
Nigel.
I think the law is very clear that you cannot in any way make a facsimile of any part of the currency, whether it's a coin or a note. And he's certainly liable to prosecution for having made a sovereign. And also, it is legal tender. Of course, you can go anywhere and give a sovereign. You might not get the going market rate if you're in Petticoat Market, but if you go to Barclays Bank or Lloyds Bank or Midland Bank.
Well, not my local.
Great. I'm going to tie you down. You say, Janet, that he was convicted. You say he was convicted, Nigel.
Several times over.
Several times over. Wendy, you say he got off. You should put your money on first, Wendy. You've got 90 points. You're in the lead at the moment, but you're odd girl out. It's all or nothing this time.
No, I'll still beat you anyway.
Go on, put the lot on.
Five.
Oh!
6 minutes. Will I still win, though?
You could still win, even if the other two are right. Janet, what have you put of your 70 on?
30.
Right. And Nigel, you have 50 points to play with. What will you put up?
They've never been to the races, these lasses. It's all 50.
Let's see, then. You say he was prosecuted and convicted. Wendy, you say he wasn't. Clive Eastley was prosecuted and convicted. Because it is an offence simply to make a counterfeit coin of a protected coin without lawful authority or excuse. Gold sovereigns are protected coins, even though they are not now in everyday use, and Clive could not convince the court that he had lawful authority or an excuse to make them. Now, the lawful authority and excuse are the two important things which you didn't say. So two of you win, and what I'm going to give you, first of all, Nigel, you get your 50, so you're up to 100. Janet, you get your 30, so you are up to 100. And Wendy, you are losing 5, you are down to 85, so it is a tie between Nigel Dempster and Janet Street Porter. Well done. But what a close-run thing. Well, that's all the cases we have time for tonight, but before you leave us, let me give you some details of one we'll be dealing with in next week's show. It concerns a policeman who arrested a woman in her own house without a warrant to enter. He claimed the warrant wasn't necessary as the occupant left the door open. Was he right or otherwise? Think about it, and then join us again next week and see if you were right. Until then, let me say good night on behalf of tonight's panel of Janet Street Porter, Nigel Dempster and Wendy Richard, the Law Game Reptory Company, who were Miranda Forbes, James Kerry and Vincent Brimble, deviser and writer Brad Ashton, legal advisor Doug Cracknell, producer Jan Ravens and me, Shaw Taylor. Bye-bye.